Blog Talk Radio.
People I know are going to be here late, still getting off from work. This is the what is considered the new year in the scriptures, the month of Abib or the month of Nisan. It is not tied to the Gregorian calendar where the 31st of December is, or the 1st of January is the new year, or the Jewish New Year, which I believe is in October, that they, that, you know, the Orthodox Jews celebrate. This is the month that the Most High says in Scripture that will be the first month of the year. And this follows the spring equinox, first new moon. So if you missed the lesson about the new moon, and we went over, you know, that's what the lesson was about concerning the calendar, Enoch calendar. And Enoch put out a solar calendar. He put out a lunar calendar. And even in the book of Enoch, it says that the new moon, the new crescent moon, is the beginning of a month in the scripture. And then I showed in the scripture where the most... Hey, Sister Denise.
Hello, how are you?
Just fine. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
All right. Amen. Amen. This is an exciting time for me because, you know, this kicks off our year. We just ended a year, and we pray that, you know, everybody had a blessed year. And, you know, in this service, we always pray for, you know, the Most High's blessing for the coming month. So we'll do all that. But also be prepared to be here for close to 3 hours because this is a special new moon. The new moon marks the beginning of a month. And this one is special because it's a special one of the first one of the year. And also, this is the time that the Most High showed me that Messiah was born. And so we celebrate all these things in this day. You know, we don't celebrate Christmas as in December 25th because the Most High showed me that Messiah was born. At first, he showed me during the springtime, and then he showed me the specific date in the scripture. And so I'm going to show you those things so that you don't think that I'm, you know, talking out the side of my neck, so that you understand why we are celebrating and observing certain things on this day. And this is a very special feast day. Now, and we're told to observe this feast day, to, you know, to watch for it and to observe it. Also, we also do a communion service with this service. Well, every new moon, every beginning of month, we do a communion service with it. So for those of you who are new or don't get the emails and things like that, if you're coming to, you know, any of the next feast days or new moon and the feast days, then if you will get a bottle of grape juice, I don't use wine, and I will explain that rationale at another time. We use the fruit of the grape, but we don't actually use fermented wine. And some unleavened bread, whether it is a wafer or, you know, a cracker, flatbread, whatever it is, we want some unleavened bread for communion. Okay, and so the Passover is coming up on the 5th of April, and then the heave offering will be the Sunday following that. And so we want to... be mindful of these things, and I'll check the calendar again on that. I believe that is the Monday after that, or the Sunday after that. Nevertheless, this, you know, the feast days are coming, and it's a busy time of the year, and the Most High commands that we keep these days. So we're going to go ahead and start as people come on to just join in. And Sister Mary and Sister Denise, I'm going to ask you guys to respond for the people. I'll tell you which one. Which of you will do it, which one? I'll just call your name. Is that okay?
That's fine.
All right, amen. All right, that way we don't have a lot of confusion. Let's do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah. According to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3. Verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just thank you and we glorify you, Father. We lift you up and we magnify your name. We extol thee, O Yah Elohim. We extol thee, we extol thee, and we magnify you. For you are our Elohim, and there is no other. No other at all, Father. We will not bow down to another entity, nor will we give our praise or your glory to another. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah, Father. We just thank you on today, and we thank you for the year that has passed, Father, and that you have kept us all safe. Hallelujah. We are yet here to celebrate another of your years, Father, and another year to do thy will. So we just thank you on today, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and go into the new moon service. All right. The new moon, we are commanded by Scripture to keep every month. And so we have been obedient in that for well over a year now that we have kept this. And so one of the things that, as I said, for those who are just starting to observe, you want to come. This is because we are mainly remote from each other. We don't live around each other. When we move to the land, and we'll be able to do these things together. But you should have your grape juice, and if you have it, and it needs to be blessed, and we'll take time out to do that. If you have unleavened bread, it will be blessed for this particular ceremony. And we usually share a meal online. You know, this is our time that we sort of congregate together, and we just have a good time worshiping the Most High. That's what this is all about. Let me go and close my door. It seems like as soon as I get started, that's when all the noise starts. I'll be right back. If you have background noise on your end, then go ahead and mute yourself. I'm not sure where that background from. All right, I found it. All right. So this service usually starts when there are three stars that appear in the sky, okay? And the new moon itself is the crescent moon of the month, the first crescent, when the moon goes out of, you know, comes out of hiding, out of its 3 days in darkness, then the sun hits it on the right side, and you get the, well, on the left side, and you get the crescent. And so we celebrate that crescent as the new moon, according to many sources that say that's the new moon. Some people have a source that they use that says that the new moon is the full moon. But that would really throw things off in the scriptures, but I'm not going to go into that this time. So let's go into, to start this service, let's go to the book of Psalms, chapter 111. And we're going to get verse 10. Psalms 111 and verse 10. The fear of Yah is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 1. Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover unto Yah thy Elohim. For in the month of Abib, and Abib means earing, that's when the corn was on the stalk, or it is the barley harvest as well. It says to observe this month, and it shall be the beginning of month. And Yah thy Elohim brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. Exodus chapter 12, the book of Exodus chapter 12 and verse 2. This month shall be unto you the beginning of month. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So this is the directive that we have from the Most High to observe this month. In this month we will hold the Passover, but it will also be the beginning of the year for us. It'll be the first month of the year. Okay, and in the scripture it says to observe Aviv, and it's also, this month is also called from the Babylonian, Nisan. Okay, the month of Nisan. Go to the book of Numbers, chapter 10. The book of Numbers, chapter 10. And we're going to get verse 10. And also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginning of your month, this is the beginning of a month, to blow the trumpet over your burnt offering and over the sacrifices of your peace offering, that they may be unto you for a memorial before Yah, before your Elohim. I am Yah, your Elohim. So we are commanded, and he commanded Israel, that they were to blow the trumpet, and we're going to blow the trumpet on the shofar, in your solemn days, and the feast days, like Passover is a solemn day. The last day of Passover is a solemn day. So we're to blow the trumpets in those, and then over the sacrifices of our peace offerings in the beginning of our month, we're supposed to blow the shofar or the trumpet, that they may be to you a memorial before Yah, your Elohim. I am Yah, your Elohim. So he commands that we do this. Second Chronicles, the book of Second Chronicles, chapter 2. Second Chronicles, chapter 2. We're going to get verses 2 and 3. Second Chronicles, chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. And Solomon sent to Hiram, the king of Tyre, saying, as thou didst deal with David, my father, and didst send him cedars to build him a house to dwell therein, even so deal with me. Behold, I build a house to the name of Yah, my Elohim, to dedicate it to him, and to turn before him, and to burn before him sweet incense, and for the continual showbread, and for the burnt offerings morning and evening, on the Sabbath, and on the new moon, and on the solemn feast of Yah, our Elohim. This is an ordinance forever to Israel. So Solomon understood that he was to blow the trumpet and to offer sacrifices on these days. And the new moon is always mentioned. And when you go to the sacrifices that are mentioned for the new moon, there's more sacrifices that were made than for the Sabbath. The Most High said that he would meet Israel in the new moon. Okay. Then verse 12. Then Solomon offered burnt offerings unto Yah on the altar of Yah, which he had built before the porch. Now just a second. Okay. Verse 13. Even after a certain rate every day, offering according to the commandments of Moses on the Sabbath and on the new moon and on the solemn feast three times in a year, even in the feast of unleavened bread and in the feast of weeks, which is Pentecost, and the feast of tabernacles. So we have here where Solomon did this. He obeyed, and these commandments came from the Most High in the book of Numbers. And so Israel over time, they would do it, and then they would forget. They would do it, and then they would forget. They would lose the law. They would come out of captivity. But they will always restart this because it was a commandment to do it. So let us bow our heads, and let us have our opening prayer. We celebrate the festival of the new moon as an appointed time with Yah, our Elohim, as he has commanded us. Blessed are you, Yah, our Elohim, Elohim of Abraham, Elohim of Isaac, Elohim of Jacob. Our Father, we fervently call upon you. You are the great and mighty one, Most High Elohim, whose name alone is Yahweh, Eternal One, the Elohim of hope. You are merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and keeping covenant forever with those who fear your name and keep your commandments. You made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. You are all powerful to save, and you bestow gracious favors to your people in love. You are holy, and your name is holy. And we separate ourselves this night to come before you to honor, revere, and praise your holy name. The book of Exodus, chapter 20. The book of Exodus, chapter 20, and verse 6. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. The book of John, chapter 14, verses 15 and 21. John, chapter 14, 15 and 21. If you love me, keep my commandments. He that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. The book of John, the book of 1 John, chapter 2. The book of 1 John, chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. 1 John, chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Yeshua HaMashiach, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keeps his word, in him verily is the love of Elohim perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Revelation chapter 14. The book of Revelation chapter 14 and verse 6. Verse 6 and 7. Revelation chapter 14 verses 6 and 7. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear Elohim and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 5. The book of Revelation chapter 19 and verse 5. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our Elohim, all you his servants, and you that fear him, both small and great. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 13 through 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 13 through 18. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has HaMashiach with Belial? And what part has he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of Elohim with idols? For you are the temple of the living Elohim. As Elohim has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be separate, saith Yah, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith Yah Almighty. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of Elohim. And Sister Mary, if you will respond for the people first. Blessed are you, Yah our Elohim.
Blessed are you, Yah our Elohim.
Elohim of Elohim.
Elohim of Elohim.
And King of Kings.
And King of Kings.
The Holy One of Israel.
The Holy One of Israel.
Amen. Time to offer ourselves as living sacrifice and offerings to an offering to rejoice before you in the salvation of our souls, which you have provided through Yahuwah, our HaMashiach. You have given us the beginning of month as a season of making amends, of atonement for our ignorant sins, and renewal of our consecration and offering and acceptable sacrifice of our lives to you upon your altar. The book of Romans, chapter 12. The book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Elohim, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Elohim, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be formed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Elohim. And Sister Denise, if you will respond for the people this time. Blessed are you, Yah.
Blessed are you, Yah.
Our Elohim.
Our Elohim.
King of the universe.
King of the universe.
Who has kept us.
Who has kept us.
And sustained us.
And sustained us.
And enabled us to keep this appointment with you.
And enabled us to keep this appointment with you.
Amen. Thank you, my son. Accept us, your people, we pray. And let our prayers come before you, and may our worship be acceptable in your presence. We ask that you would restore your holy sanctuary upon the earth and dwell with us once more in your glory. We have the blessings of beholding your return to Zion, when you will restore your divine glory upon her. The book of Hebrews, chapter 13. The book of Hebrews, chapter 13. And we're going to get verses 1 through 16. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 16. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers Elohim will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, Yah is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of Elohim, who has faith followed, considering the end of their conversation. Yahushua HaMashiach is today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meat, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Yahushua also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to Elohim continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, Elohim is well pleased. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, Yah. We just lift you up the fruit of our lips, Father. We praise your holy name. And we extol thee. We magnify you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We give you 10,000 times, 10,000 times, 10,000. The praise is hallelujah, for you are worthy. You are worthy, you are worthy. And there is none like unto you, O Yahweh. No, not one, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. You should never be afraid or never forget to give the Most High the fruit of your lips. That's what he wants. He wants our praise and our worship. And Sister Denise, you will respond for the people this time. We bless and praise you.
We bless and praise you.
For your eternal counsel.
For your eternal counsel.
And when you will have compassion upon your people.
When you will have compassion upon your people.
And restore your glory once again.
And restore your glory once again.
Upon Zion.
Upon Zion.
And your kingdom shall be exalted over all.
And your kingdom shall be exalted over all.
The book of Psalms, chapter 81. The book of chapter 81, verses 1 through 5. To the chief musician upon Gedith, a psalm of Asaph. Sing aloud unto Elohim our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the Elohim of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel and the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel and the law of the Elohim of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. And let me tune my lips up. You pull out the shofar. And I'm going to give four blasts of the shofar. Appointed feast. And at the beginning of your month, you shall blow the shofar over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. And they shall be a memorial for you before your Elohim. I am Yah, your Elohim. And Sister Mary, if you will respond for the people. Blessed are the people that know the sound of the shofar, O Yah.
Blessed are the people that know the sound of the shofar, O Yah.
We shall walk in the light of your countenance, O Yah.
Shall walk in the light of your countenance, O Yah.
Deuteronomy chapter 6. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, and the word of Yah read, Hear, O Israel, Yah, our Elohim, is one Yah. And thou shalt love Yah, thy Elohim, with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Shema Yisrael, Yahuwah Eloheinu, Yahuwah Ikar, Baruch Shem Kavod Malkuto, Leolam Vahed, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Ikar, the Shema. And just a second here. Did that drop off of my list? There we go. All right.
Shema, Shema, Shema. Shema, 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 Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Blessed be his name, of glorious King. The Lord is one.
God bless.
Shema Yisrael. Hear, O Israel. Yah, our Elohim, is one. Yah is one. This is a celebration. So go ahead and let's get our hands together, get our voices together, and we're going to have fun with this Shema. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's get a little moving around. Let's get around.
Yeah.
Israel, Yahuwah Eloheinu, Yahuwah Echad. Hear, O Israel, Yah our Elohim, Yah is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. Hear, O Israel, Yah our Elohim is one.
Amen.
Separate Rosh Chodesh, the new moon, from the rest of the month. We light the seven branches of the menorah as a representation of the fullness of the Shekinah glory in the seven spirits of Elohim, which shall illuminate the new Jerusalem. We come before you, Almighty Elohim, this night, thanking you for all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Yeshua, our Elohim, or our HaMashiach, and in him is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And we are believing tonight that as we light the menorah, that you would impart to us an increasing measure of your spirit to shine in our hearts and to fill these earthen vessels of ours with your glory so that the illumination of your presence will be manifest through us. All right, let's see. We're going to take turns responding here. Let's see. The first one, we'll start Sister Mary, Sister Denise, Sister Mary, Sister Denise until we finish, okay?
All right.
All right. As we prepare to light the menorah, let me check my lighter out. All right. It's good to go. Would you fill us, your people, this night with the spirit of Yah? And who did I say we're going to go first?
Me.
Okay. Will you respond for the people? We receive the spirit of Yah.
We receive the spirit of Yah.
Would you fill us, your people, this night with the spirit of wisdom? And Sister Denise, we receive the spirit of wisdom.
Spirit of wisdom.
Would you fill us, your people, this night with the spirit of wisdom? And Sister Mary, we receive the spirit of wisdom.
We receive the spirit of wisdom.
Would you fill us, your people, this night with the spirit of understanding? And Sister Denise, we receive the spirit of understanding.
We receive the spirit of understanding.
Would you fill us, your people, this night with the spirit of counsel? And Sister Mary, we receive the spirit of counsel.
We receive the spirit of counsel.
Would you fill us with your people tonight? Would you fill us, your people this night with the spirit of might? And Sister Denise, or whoever's up, we receive the spirit of might.
We receive the spirit of might.
And then Sister Mary, would you fill us, your people this night, with the spirit of knowledge? And Sister Mary, we receive the spirit of knowledge.
We receive the spirit of knowledge.
And then, Sister Denise, would you fill us, your people this night, with the spirit of the fear of Yah, Elohim? And Sister Denise, we receive the spirit of the fear of Yah.
We receive the spirit of the fear of Yah.
Amen. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your manifest, your sevenfold spirits, Father. We receive them all tonight, Father. We thank you for allowing us to have them. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah Elohim. Thank you, Father. All right. Our scripture reading for tonight, the birth of Messiah. And I want to read this from different books in the scriptures so that you can get an understanding why I believe that his birth, he was born the first of this month, the first day of this month. I didn't put in here about the Passover lambs, so I'll just explain it. The Passover lambs that they used in Israel when the temple was up and running, they kept those lambs at Bethlehem, okay? And the Passover lamb had to be a year old at Passover. So the lambs were born the year previous to the Passover. Now, we know that the Most High is uses symbolism in his prophecies and whatever he does. Okay, and so the Hebrew words have meaning. And if we can understand and relate the correct Hebrew word, then we understand that Bethlehem means the house of bread. And so the bread of life was born in the house of bread. But he was also the Lamb of Elohim. And so our Passover lamb would also be born in the same place that the Passover lambs were kept, Bethlehem. Okay, and the Passover lamb, as I said, had to be 1 year old at the Passover. That means it had to be born in the spring, during Passover, or during the month of Passover, to qualify as the Passover lamb. Messiah would also emulate that, whereas he would be born in the spring as well, when the lambs were born. With that being said, let's start reading from the book of Colossians, chapter 1. The book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence, that he might be first in all things. Let's look at his birth as prophesied in the building of the sanctuary. Now, the Most High told Israel to build the sanctuary in the third month. So he actually told them this in the fourth month. We're going to read this, and I just want you to do a little bit of math with me, okay? Now, we know that the sanctuary represents the Most High dwelling with Israel, him tabernacling with Israel. Why am I having a problem with that word? Tabernacling with Israel, okay? So let's go to the book of Exodus, chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. In the third month, we're going to get verse 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. So they reached Sinai in the third month. So out in the first year, in the third month. Okay. And the glory, let's go to Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24, and we're going to get verse 16, and I pray that you're writing these down so that you can have them for yourself. Exodus chapter 24 and verse 16. And the glory of Yah abode upon the Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it. Sixth, seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the Most High came down in Exodus chapter 19, and he introduced himself to the children of Israel. And he told Moses, you know, get the people prepared for the third day, and make sure to tell them not to come at their wives. I want everybody clean. Tell them to wash their clothes and don't have sex. I want everybody clean. He stayed down on that mountain for 6 days, his presence. And he talked to the children of Israel for 6 days. That takes us all the way up until Exodus chapter 24, verse 16. So Exodus chapter 19, verse 1 to Exodus chapter 24 and verse 16, 6 days have passed. Okay, and he gives them his statutes, his laws, and his commandments. He tells them about the feast days. He tells them to bring me an offering for a sanctuary. Okay, now, let's pick this up in Exodus chapter 24, verse 18. Exodus chapter 24, verse 18. So remember, they arrived at Sinai in the third month. The third month, and then the Most High comes down and talks with them. Okay, he gives the children of Israel his commandments. Moses didn't give them to them at first. The Most High gave them to them directly. They heard his voice, and they entered into covenant with him. Then Moses went up on the mountain. Okay. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mountain. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. So we got a month and 10 days. We're now in the fourth month. Okay. Now, anybody tell me how long it takes for a woman to have a baby?
9 months.
9 months. Can somebody count for me from the fourth month, and you got to count the fourth month, until the first month of the year? How many months is that? So if you start on your fingers, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That's 9 months. Messiah is born on the first of the month. Okay, the tabernacle. Now, let's look at when the tabernacle was raised. So the tabernacle was conceived in the fourth month. And, you know, I think I put that verse somewhere else. Let me get it for us so that we can know. I think it's 24 and, no, I think it's 25. Exodus chapter 25. Yeah, let's go to Exodus chapter 25. Let's get verse 1 and 2. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering, every man that giveth this willingly with his heart, and you shall take my offering. And this is the offering, and he tells them what. I think we go down to verse 18. No. Hold on. I apologize. I had this. What did I do with it? Okay, so let me just look it up real quick. I went too far. I said 18, verse 8. Exodus chapter 25 and verse 8. So we read in Exodus 25 verses 1 and 2, and then we'll drop down to verse 8. I'd put a 1 on the top of that. I shouldn't have. And Yah spake, verses 1 and 2, and Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they may bring me an offering, every man that giveth it willingly. With his heart you shall take my offering. Then go down to verse 8. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. So the sanctuary represented the Most High with Israel, tabernacling with Israel. But it also represented a man when you study it out. The tabernacle is a prophetic building of Messiah to come. It was conceived in the fourth month, and let's see what month it was actually raised up. Go to Exodus chapter 40. The book of Exodus chapter 40. And let's get verse 2. Actually, go to Exodus chapter, yeah, we'll go to Exodus chapter 40 and we'll get verse 17 first. And then we'll come back to verse 2. So Exodus chapter 40, verse 17, and it came to pass in the first month, in the second year. The first year, in the first month, they came out of Egypt. So now we're in the first month of the second year. And on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up. So the tabernacle, which represents a man, which represents the Most High dwelling on the earth with Israel, that he would have a sanctuary among them. This represents Messiah's birth. And on the first day of the month, set up the tabernacle of the tent of congregation. So this is representing when Messiah would come into the world, that he would tabernacle with men. The sanctuary is a representation of that. Let's look at his birth as foretold by the angel. His birth as foretold by the angels. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those, so we're going to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before Elohim, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of Yah, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before Elohim in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of Yah. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of Yah standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have mercy, and thou shalt have joy and gladness. And many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of Yah, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to Yah, their Elohim. And he shall go before him in the spirit of power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for Yah. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of Elohim, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words. Secondly, put this down. Thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed out of his own house. Now, I want to stop here for a second. because I don't have this documentation in this precept, but I do want to explain here. We know that Messiah is born 6 months after John the Baptist. In order to understand when Elizabeth got pregnant and when Messiah would be born, you'd have to know, it says that we stopped, we'll start back on verse 26 in just a second. It tells you what he was a priest and his course. The priesthood was, they served, and they called their serving, the time that they served, a course. And there were 24 courses in a year. And so you'd have to know when these courses started, and then you could tell when Zacharias was actually performing the temple duty. So it said that he was in the course of Abia in verse 5, okay? And that would be the eighth. Now, the only way that you can tell when those courses started or given a year, then you'd have to know exactly when a certain priest or a priest actually served. In the Jewish Talmud, when it says that Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD on a Sunday, okay, this is what they recorded, that Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD on a Sunday, and that the priest that was in office, I forget his name, but you get his priesthood, okay, you get the priest that was actually in office on that Sunday in 70 AD. You can then wind that back. Just go back through the different courses, all the way back to Messiah's day, which would have been about in 27 A.D., okay, to the time that Messiah was, well, actually 6 B.C., when Messiah was born, and you will come out to the first of Nisan, again, the month of Nisan, for Messiah being born. You can calculate the date from that. Also in the Dead Sea Scrolls, they have, and everybody knows what the Dead Sea Scrolls are. They were the scrolls that were found, the oldest Bible that was ever found. And it also has the courses of the priest. So once you know that, you know, what course was running, you can either go from the beginning and go forward until the time of Messiah, or to the time, you know, when Messiah was conceived, when Zacharias was in the temple doing his course, or you can come backwards. Either way, they all agree that it would have been in the month of Nisan. Okay? So this would be when Messiah was born. In Nisan. Okay? So just bringing that up, that there's another proof with that, okay, from other sources. And we're going to leave it at that because there's probably about another 7 or 8 sources that I could take us through. So when people want to say that he was born during October, it's not true. That's going to be when he comes back the second time for tabernacles, okay? And he will dwell on the earth permanently then. But the first time, he had to fulfill all of the feast days, and the one that we're told to remember, you know, we're told to remember Passover, we're told to remember the heave or the wave offering, we're told to remember Pentecost, we're told to remember, which is the Feast of Weeks. We're told to remember Trumpets, Tabernacles, Day of Atonement. All of those feast days Messiah has fulfilled. He fulfilled, the Feast of the New Fruit, the Heave Offering. He fulfilled the Passover with the Passover Lamb. And there's only one other day on the 10th of Nisan when they were gathering in the Lamb. Maybe I'll do that. Just prior to Passover, when they were gathering the lambs, and Israel was told on the 10th day of the month, go gather your lamb and take it home and keep it for 4 days until the 14th, and all Israel will slaughter the lamb together. They did the Passover together. On the 10th of Nisan, Messiah was coming into Jerusalem, and that's where they were throwing down the palm branches and that kind of stuff, saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. You know, they were trying to make him king, but he was coming on a donkey. That was on the 10th of the month, and the Most High was bringing his lamb to the house of Elohim, because he came into the temple on that day. And that's when he chased out the, you know, the coin changers and things like that. And then he died on Passover, like the Passover lamb. So everything that has to do with a lamb, the time of the year that the lamb is born, the city that the lambs are kept in for the Passover, the city of Bethlehem, all these things point back to Messiah and point back to him having to be born in the spring. So let's continue. Let's drop back down to verse 28. Verse 25. Let's start in verse 24. I don't think I read that. So Zacharias is in the temple, okay, and the angel Gabriel comes to him and tells him that, you know, his wife Elizabeth is going to become pregnant. They're both old, and she hasn't been able to get pregnant. And now in her old age, she gets pregnant. And it came to pass, as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own home. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. So she's hiding herself that she's pregnant. Thus has God dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach from among men. She was childless. Okay, and that was, it was like an embarrassment in those days. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from Elohim unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, a spouse to a man whose name was Joseph. She's engaged to Joseph. She's like his wife, but they have not come together sexually. Okay. Of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. Yah is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, what you mean? And cast in her mind what manner of salutation, what manner of greeting this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with Elohim. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Yeshua. In your Bible, Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And Yah Elohim shall give him unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this mean? I know not a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of Elohim. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. So this wasn't the sixth month of the year, or the sixth month of the Hebrew calendar. This was the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. That's when the angel Gabriel came to Mary. Okay. Now, that very well could have been the sixth month of the year as well, June, July time frame, but it doesn't say that. It says it's the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Verse 37, For with Elohim nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaiden of Yah. She accepted the assignment. But she could have said, you know, be it not so to the handmaiden of the Lord. But she accepted, Behold, the handmaiden of Yah, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. From that point on, she was pregnant. Okay. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste in a hurry into the city of Judah. And entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Now, I said that, but that's from my old Catholic days. It was part of a prayer. So y'all excuse me, but that just came out. But that's part of a prayer that they make. And whence is is it to me that the mother of my Lord or my Master should come to me? For lo, soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is he, is she that believeth, that believes, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from Yah. And Mary said, my soul does magnify Yah, and my spirit has rejoiced in Elohim, my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm, and he has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty with their exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever, and Mary abode with her about 3 months. So she comes in the 6th month. She stays there about 3 months. John the Baptist is born. She goes home and returns to her own house. So when John the Baptist is born, Mary returns to her house with Joseph. She hasn't seen him for 3 months. She wasn't pregnant when she left. After coming back pregnant, 3 months. And so she's noticed to be pregnant by Joseph. Okay. Let's look at his birth to the angels and the shepherds. Now, the thing that we want to remember about the shepherds is this. The shepherds in Israel are out with the sheep from the month of as early as February, but typically March, April, but it can, you know, become early, and so as early as February through the end of August, okay? So if Messiah was going to be born into the latter feast days, whatever the month of August is, which is about the 6th month on the Hebrew calendar, Messiah would have to be born about that time because of this story we're about to read. But the shepherds would only be out at night during the springtime because the lambs get pregnant somewhere October, November time frame. And then what does nature teach us? When do most creatures in nature have their children, their babies? In the spring, when the grass is growing, okay? So the shepherds would be out during the springtime when the lambs were lambing, meaning that they were having their lambs. And they would be there to assist the sheep, the ewe, the female sheep, to assist with the birth if it was needed and to guard against any predators. Okay, so they would do this in the springtime when the sheep were having their young. The Passover lambs had to be born and had to be at least 1 year old, according to the law, had to be at least 1 year old at Passover, a male sheep of the first year. They would go get that sheep for Passover on the 10th day. And then all of Israel would slaughter or kill the Passover together. Okay, so that's why it's critical that you understand when this angel is coming to speak to the shepherd and to announce the birth of Messiah. Let's listen to where the shepherds are at. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. The book of Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. They went into their birth city. Joseph also went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem means house of bread. Okay? And so we have one of Messiah's titles is the bread of life. So we have the bread of life being born into the house of bread. The Most High always uses symbolism, okay? Because he was of the house and lineage of David. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So Mary is pregnant, and they are told that they got to return to his house, his home, and maybe Mary was from there also, because she's also of the lineage of David, and be taxed. So she's pregnant, and this is how it comes that Messiah is born in Bethlehem. Because when we read this, we realize that Joseph and Mary were living in Galilee, in the city of Nazareth. They had to come back to Judah into the city of Bethlehem, okay? To be taxed with Mary, his spouse wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Her pregnancy is come due now, okay? And it's time for Messiah to be born. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him them at the inn. Now, we know this has to be around a feast day as well. Why? For the simple reason, if Serenius or Caesar Augustus gave the order that everybody should, you know, come back to their hometown to be taxed, if he had any type of sense, he would do it during one of the feast days. Why? For the simple reason, all of Israel, the males were required to be there during one of the three feast days, Passover, Tabernacles, and Pentecost. Okay, it had to be at Jerusalem. But the first of Nisan, the beginning of the year, they weren't required to be in Jerusalem. Okay, so if Messiah was born on Passover, then it would have been illegal for him not to be at Jerusalem, Joseph not to be at Jerusalem. The Most High is not going to cause, you know, his man to be, have to break the law, even to bring Messiah into the world. Okay, so the first of Nisan, which is the day they were to observe and to keep it, and because at a new moon, Messiah could be born on that day, and Joseph would not be required to be in Jerusalem. He'd be required to be in Jerusalem 14 days from then, but not on the first, okay? So no law would be broken. So, you know, with that in mind, okay? So she brings forth her firstborn son and wraps him in swaddling clothes and lays him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, because Caesar Augustus has told them, you know, everybody to come, and everybody would be coming for the Passover anyway. I mean, if you think about it, if you are a governor and you're trying to make the whole nation have to return to their city of origin, you would want to do it at a time that they were going to be traveling anyway, or else you might get a big revolt. What? We got to go to Jerusalem, and it is July or June, and we got to be back here in another month. It's in January or December, and we got to be back here in another month for Passover or for Pentecost, you know, whatever time of the year. If you make them come outside of, you know, the feast days, then he's putting an extra burden on them. And so, you know, there's no room at the end.
Now in the conference.
Yeah, there's no room at the end. And so they have to stay and put Messiah in a manger, okay? And there were in the same country shepherds. Underline that because this is important. Let's see. And they're at the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. They only take their flock out like this during the early spring, as I said, so that the sheep could have their babies, their lambs. And they would stay with them all day and night because, you know, the sheep could give birth in the daytime, in the nighttime. But here are the shepherds watching over their flock, waiting for their lambs, their sheep to have lambs. And the Most High is having his lamb, the Lamb of Elohim, born at the same time. Okay? Let's continue. This, you know, none of this is by coincidence. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of Yah came unto them, and the glory of Yah shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. They were very afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ, or Mashiach, Christ the Lord, or Yeshua HaMashiach. And there shall be this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, the ones who are here are the shepherds. And who better would the Most High have to watch the birth of his lamb but the shepherds that are watching over their lamb and the birth of their lamb? The magi, the wise men, are not here at this time. The wise men don't get there for a couple of years. So, you know, all those manger things that you see with the wise men, with their gifts, standing around the manger, never happened. Never happened. The ones that came to witness his birth and to atone that, or, you know, witness that the King of the Jews, that the Messiah, was born was the shepherd. Suddenly there was there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising Elohim and saying, glory to Elohim in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which I have made known unto us. And they came with haste, they came in a hurry, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. The wise men ain't there. It's the shepherd. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. So they were told to go tell everybody about Messiah. And this is what they did. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherd. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising Elohim for all the things that they had heard and seen, and as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished, by the law, all males have to be circumcised on the eighth day. And when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, or Yeshua, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification for a male child would have been 66 days for a female, 33 days for a male child. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished. See, the law of Moses was still in effect. Messiah was going to have to meet, and Joseph and Mary were going to have to keep those laws. So the days of her purification, if I'm not mistaken, for a male was 33 days, and it's twice that for a female. They brought him into Jerusalem to present him to Yah. And as it is written in the law of Yah, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to Yah, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of Yah, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. And this was a sin offering for Mary because of her issue of blood with this with having a child. It wasn't for Messiah. It was for Mary. And if you go look it up, I have to find those verses. I think it's in Leviticus chapter 12, somewhere in there. You will find that these laws that it's talking about, okay, and why these turtle doves and these two young pigeons were brought. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen Yah's Christ. So we have Messiah being born in Bethlehem. We have the shepherds who are tending sheep at night, being told by the angels to come and behold him. You'll find him in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes, and that he is the Christ, the King of the Jews. So they come, and then they go start going telling everyone. Okay. Look at the wise men. Go to Matthew chapter 2. The book of Matthew chapter 2. And here again, wording is important. In Luke chapter 1, Messiah is a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Now, by the time that the wise men get there, he's a toddler. He's walking. Okay. Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Now, when Yeshua was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Now, these are the Magi, these wise men, and they are from Babylon. They are where Daniel served Nebuchadnezzar. That's where they're from. And Daniel was made the chief of the Magi by Nebuchadnezzar. So this is how these wise men know about the birth of Messiah, from Daniel. And you know that we're not supposed to, you know, practice astrology or anything like that. But this is what these wise men and these Magi, that's what they did for Nebuchadnezzar. Okay? And so they knew how to read the stars in the heaven. And I'm not going to go into detail about it. But that's how they were following this star, and it was a convergence of Jupiter, Mars, Saturn, Venus, all these planets. It was a conversion in a certain constellation. And I'll leave it at that because I don't want us to start getting into astrology. Okay, but that's how they knew. Jupiter represents king, and you'll see that in the scriptures all over the place. They thought of Jupiter as a king and as a god. And so they see the in the night sky, the brightest thing is going to be, and the convergence is going to be Jupiter, and it's going to be merging into a certain constellation. And in that constellation, it represented Judea. And that's how they were announcing the King of the Jews, these Magi. They saw his star, which was really the planet Jupiter. And it was converging in a certain constellation, zodiac sign, and that zodiac sign had been known in ancient times equated to Judea or Jerusalem. Okay, so that's how they got this information, and they were being told this by a long time ago by Daniel, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" So this prophecy is saying this is where Messiah would be born. The problem is, because of Herod threatening to kill Messiah, and he comes and kills all the children, 2 years old and younger, but Joseph had picked up Messiah and went into Egypt. And when Herod died, Joseph didn't come back to Bethlehem. He went to where he was living before he had to come back for the taxes. He went back to Nazareth. Okay, in Galilee, because he still feared Herod's son, that he would try to kill Messiah. So he didn't come back to Bethlehem. He went back into Nazareth, where he was working at and living a year or two before. Okay? And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, you know, this has to be a supernatural event for this star to be able, or this planet to be able to show them exactly where the manger was at. I also believe that this was an angel. I forget where I found the scripture at, but that this was also an angel, okay? And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child. Underline that. He's not a babe anymore. He's a what? Young child. With Mary, his mother. And fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of Elohim in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of Yah appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. So he goes to Egypt. He can blend in Egypt, okay? And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And there they were, and there was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of Yah by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Okay, and so when you read further in those verses, then you see that he went back into Nazareth when he came back out of Egypt. That's why they called him Jesus of what? Nazareth. Okay, because that's where Joseph took him, out of fear that Herod's son would still be out to kill him. You know, he was told that, hey, it's safe to come back. He didn't go to Bethlehem. So when by the time he comes into his ministry, everybody thinks he's from and was born where? In Nazareth. And even though his birth had been foretold, and even though the shepherds went around and said that the Messiah had been born, and even though, you know, the wise men came and Herod was looking to kill him, by the time he's 30 years old, everybody has forgotten all about that. And they think that, you know, he's actually born in Nazareth. And they say, can any good thing come out of what, Galilee? Mm-hmm. And then they say, search the scriptures. Does any scripture say that there's going to be a prophet or a Messiah born in Galilee? It don't say that. So he can't be the Messiah. But he was born in Bethlehem. But by the time he got grown, they thought he was from Nazareth, because that's where he lived. Mary and Joseph's testimony. Go to Matthew chapter 1. The book of Matthew chapter 1 and verse 10. Now the birth of Yeshua was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now that's literal. That's why he's called the only begotten of the Father. Mary was, it says, that the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing that is born of thee shall be called the Son of Elohim. Elohim is actually the Father of Messiah. Spoke into Mary's womb. Okay. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, he was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, Joseph doesn't know this. And it says Joseph was a what? Just man? Just means lawful. He kept the law. Just like they kept what? Passover. They kept When Messiah was 8 days old, did they take him to go be circumcised? Did they bring the offering that was required for Mary? He's a just man. He's lawful. He keeps the law. And not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of Yah appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now remember, she's been gone for 3 months. Back, she's found to be pregnant. Joseph was thinking about, okay, how do we do this? But before he could carry out how he's going to do it, the angel of Yah came to him in a dream and said, fear not to take her to be your wife. Okay, because what she's telling you is the truth. What is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. It's of Elohim. And you shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Yeshua, Jesus in your Bible, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Yah, by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is Elohim with us. So who is Messiah? He's Elohim. He's God with us. So this all makes sense when we go to 1 John, and it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is Emmanuel, Elohim with us. Just as the tabernacle was Elohim with us, and it represented Messiah. It was a prophecy of his birth, when he would be born. Verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is Elohim with us. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of Yah had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not. That didn't mean that he didn't know her, as in, hey, this is my wife. He wasn't with her sexually until she brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Yeshua. Okay, so he didn't know her in that way, in a sexual manner, until Messiah was born. Let us now sanctify the month. Go to Exodus chapter 12. Starting in verse 1. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, and Moses and Aaron, saying, in the land of Egypt. We start over. And Yah spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you beginning of month, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. This day you came out in the month of Abib, the month of Earing. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month shall thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. So this is the first time that the tabernacle is set up. The tabernacle is actually birthed child on the first day of the first month. Okay. Let's bow our heads. May it be your will, Yah our Elohim, and Elohim of our fathers, that we begin this month with the pardoning of our sins and the forgiveness of our iniquity. Bless and sanctify this new month to us and this new year, Father, and to all your people with joy and gladness, with blessing and provision for all our needs in peace and in prosperity. Unite our hearts to fear your name so that we will keep your commandments and walk in the path of righteousness for your honor, and to receive your blessing. We long for the day when Torah will go forth from Zion to all nations, when darkness will flee away, and when the saints of the Most High will possess the kingdom, when you will destroy those who destroy the earth, when you will forever cease, when wars will forever cease, and when justice and righteousness will fill the earth as the ocean covers. for Yah will be king over all the earth, and his name one. And let us all say, amen.
Amen.
All right. I believe it is Sister Mary's turn to respond for the people. We express our gratitude to you.
We express our gratitude to you.
Creator of the universe.
Creator of the universe.
For the renewal of our lives.
For the renewal of our lives.
And hope we have in you.
And the hope we have in you.
For the coming month.
For the coming month.
And the coming year.
In the coming year.
Blessed are you.
Blessed are you.
Who sanctifies your people Israel.
Who sanctifies your people Israel.
In the beginning of the month.
In the beginning of the month.
And the beginning of the year.
In the beginning of the year.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Sister Denise, your turn. O Yah, our Elohim.
O Yah, our Elohim.
We call upon you this day.
We call upon you this day.
To hear our prayer for forgiveness.
To hear our prayer for forgiveness.
And for sins that we have so ignorantly committed.
And sins which we have so ignorantly
committed.
Committed.
We beg your mercy.
We beg your mercy.
For our willful sins.
For our willful sins.
And pray that you do not.
Pray that you do not.
Impute them against us.
Them against us.
Your holy name. For your holy name's sake.
For your holy name's sake.
And for Zion's sake.
And for Zion's sake.
And for your people.
And for your people.
And for all mankind.
And for all mankind.
We turn to you.
We turn to you.
And seek your compassion.
And seek your compassion.
And your mercy.
And your mercy.
Yahweh, our rock.
Yahweh, our rock.
And our redeemer.
And our redeemer.
Hear our prayers.
Hear our prayers.
O Yah Elohim of our fathers and our Elohim, we ask that you in this coming month, that you would give us what we need spiritually to grow into your likeness, that you would give us what we need emotionally to walk in your ways, that you would give us what we need mentally to be conscious of you and your word at all times, that you would give us what we need financially, that we would have sufficient for ourselves and can bless others, that you would give us what we need physically so that we can sleep and glorify you in all we do. And let the people say, amen.
Amen.
Let us now prepare for communion. So if you need to go get your grape juice, go ahead and get your grape juice.
And this one.
And if you need to get your bread, go ahead and get that. And go ahead and pour as much grape juice as you're going to consume for this communion. If anybody has, well, we'll just bless this cup. All right, and when everybody has that, if you will, let me know when you get back.
Man, I'm back.
All right, welcome back.
Thank you. Back.
And Sister Lorraine, looks like you are trying to say something.
I just said I was back.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you. All right. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. And for those that don't understand communion, communion is the celebration and the observance, not really the celebration of Messiah's death, but it's the observance of his death. Because, you know, who celebrates that somebody's death? Even though it did a good thing for us, but we are to remember him and his death and what he went through for us, that he was beaten for us, that he was crucified for us, that he died for us. So it's not something, it should be a solemn occasion. It shouldn't be something that we're hooping and hollering and hallelujah and, you know, we can be thankful. But, you know, it's a solemn occasion. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. He has, in these last days, spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2-4. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in the bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. If you will take the bread in your hand, in your left hand, cover it with your right, and let us sanctify the bread. Father Yah, Father, we come before you in the spirit of humility. We ask that you would take this bread and let it be sanctified and represent the body of Messiah, which was broken for us. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. And Sister Mary, you are up. Blessed are you, Yah our Elohim.
Blessed are you, Yah Elohim,
King of the universe.
King of the universe.
Who resurrects bread from the earth.
Who resurrects bread from the earth.
And you may eat the bread. Let us thank the Father for the body of Messiah. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you, God.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Matt.
And repeat after me, Sister Mary. Blessed are you, Yah.
Blessed are you, Yah.
For sanctifying us, your people.
For sanctifying us, your people.
In the renewal of our lives.
In the renewal of our lives.
This month.
This month.
And let us now take the grape juice. And you may put it in your left hand. And let us put your right hand over it. As we bless the wine or the grape juice. Father Yah, again, we come before you, Father, in the spirit of humility. Accept this grape juice as a representation of Messiah's blood, which was shed for us, for our sins. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. Yah is the incomprehensible one. Before the beginning of the creative process, he was and ever shall be our Heavenly Father. The great Creator chose to emerge from the dwelling in the inapproachable light of eternity and reveal himself through his creation, his manifestation of light into the world. For it is Elohim who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of Elohim in the face of Yahushua. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of Elohim and not of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Yahushua said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. John chapter 15 and verse 5. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Responder, Sister Denise. Blessed are you, Yah, our Elohim.
Blessed are you, Yah, our Elohim.
King of the universe.
King of the universe.
Who creates the fruit of the vine.
Who creates the fruit of the vine.
You may now drink the cup. And let us give thanks to the Most High for the blood of Messiah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Glorify you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Yah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. He made a way out of no way. There was no way for us to get back to him except for he came and died for our sins. And we have to respect that. We have to honor it. Can't go back into sin. For if we are actively participating in sin, the scriptures say that we drink, we bring death on ourselves when we do that. So we don't want to remember and take communion and be not worthy of doing it. Amen?
Amen.
Thanksgiving and praise. We thank you and praise you for the redemption which you have provided in Yahushua our HaMashiach, and for all the mighty acts which you have performed on our behalf, and the victories which you have given us in our lives, both at this time and in previous times. You are mighty Elohim and Savior, and all who live shall thank you and praise your name in truth. Blessed are you, Yah, O Yah, Elohim of our salvation and our succor. You are good and worthy to be praised, and we give thanks unto you for all your great benefits to us. Are there any? Let's give the Most High another hand clap of praise on that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Elohim. We just magnify you, Father, and we glorify you. We bow down to you, Father, and we worship you. We worship you. We worship you. For you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Hallelujah. And we thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Are there any personal testimonies?
Well, I personally want to thank him for allowing us to see another new moon. I enjoyed his service so much.
Amen.
And I just thank him for that.
Amen. Anyone else?
I'd like to thank him for another new year.
Amen. Amen. We thank God for the new moon. We thank him for another new year. Anyone else? I want to thank the Most High for anything. All right.
I do. I just want to thank him for my family members that were going through some very serious health challenges. I know that they were receiving lots of prayers. And my sister, who has stage 4 cancer, she has now gone back to the doctor, and they are saying that she is cancer-free. So, I just want to testify to the power of prayer and to what can be done. And then for my nephew, too, he's going through the challenges of of getting a deadly disease that the doctor did not think he would survive through the first day, which he did, and I was praying, and I was a little disappointed because I was praying for a miracle. And I didn't even realize that even though he got both of his legs amputated, he's been in the hospital since December, there was a miracle. The miracle was that his life was spared, and he's still alive, and he's doing better each day.
Amen. Amen. So we want to thank y'all for all that. Your sister and your nephew and y'all bringing them through. I want to thank the Most High because I also had a sister who they went in and took out part of her colon. They said she had cancer. We prayed and agreed that it wouldn't be found anywhere else. She went and took the PEP test or whatever that is. Didn't have to do any chemo. And, you know, she's a type 1 diabetic. And so, you know, many things were at risk for her, but Yah delivered her out of it. And, you know, she's a believer in the laws and the statutes and commandments. Even though she don't listen to us anymore, she's out of the Old Testament too much for her. We still thank Yah for her and her deliverance. All right. And I thank God for each and every one of you. I thank him for this year, this past year, because we have gotten a lot of things done. The microgreen business is up and running, and it's becoming more and more profitable. And Yah is going to deliver it into our hands. He's going to deliver the dwellings that we look to build upon the land. He's going to also deliver those into our hands. So I thank him ahead of time for those. I thank him for keeping me safe, for keeping me sane, for keeping me walking before him in fear, and for him continuing to love me as he always has, and not leaving me or forsaking me, because Yah is good, and he's good all the time. So I just want to thank him for family, for friends, for each and every one of you, and for your dedication. For those that are listening online, no matter where you're at in the world, we thank Yah for you as well, and pray that he delivers you if you're going through anything, that he delivers you out of it, and that he prospers each and every one of you in this coming year, that whatever you put your hand to, that he would give it favor. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen. And amen. All right. It's time for the meal. So all of you that have a meal to eat, you may go and get it now. I will play a song, and we will come back and have a grace over the meal. And then we will, you know, we can talk or we can do praise and worship. This is the new year for us. And, you know, we want to honor our Messiah, honor his birth date, honor the new year, and the Most High, just in general for everything. So we'll do some praise and some worship. Amen? After
Amen.
The meal. All right, so let me play a song. See if I can find what's on my mind, if I uploaded it here. Bless you.
Thank you. Where else
if I did not know you.
everybody back?
Yeah.
All right, amen. Yeah, y'all didn't have to go cook y'all food like I did, huh? Fire ahead. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. Father, we ask that you would bless these meals and the nourishment of our bodies. In Christ's precious name, amen and amen. All right, so let's go ahead and jump in. I'm having I cooked a bunch of squash with, you know, bell peppers and onions and peas, and I know what I left out. I left out some carrots, potatoes, but it's still good.
Potatoes, bell peppers, and onions.
Amen. And Sister Mary, did you put that pork chop on, did you?
No, I didn't.
Good.
No, I'm having something light. I'm having tea and a donut.
And a donut. All right, amen.
Uh-huh.
Amen. All right, so. How's the weather where you guys are at? It's been raining here all day.
It's been raining here too, Brother Miles.
And it's decent here. It's 41 degrees. So that's decent.
Amen. Well, count your blessings.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't get very many days like that at the North Pole. This weather's kind of weird. I keep looking at the news hoping they arrested Trump. But
they ain't going to do nothing
to him.
I hope they do. And I must say,
I personally don't think so.
I hear you. I kind of doubt it too, but I'm still praying that they do. Because if there's anybody ever seen as wicked, it's him.
Yeah.
I have to say, too, that the crop this time, after we made the corrections, and I didn't feed them so heavy, so I get, you know, so many plants out of the thing, we're back to our normal good production. Plants looking real good. I'm kind of ecstatic. Are they looking that good? So hopefully, I just put the plant at the plant for next week, yesterday, and part today. I have to give them 2 weeks to grow. But we're growing about, so eventually I will have to change things around and add some more grow room, but for now we're going to try to maximize the space that we're using. And here, the summer months are so brutal as far as heat-wise goes. Most of the markets closed up. So I found one that's going to be doing it inside.
Mm-hmm.
But they're only doing it every other week. So I need to find another one that's in those off weeks. To try to, you know, make a market every week. If not, I'm going to have to find someplace and be out in the sun. And when it's 110, 115, I don't know how long I can stay out.
Not that long.
Sun has a way of zapping your energy out.
Draining you.
Yeah.
Yeah, training you.
I know I can go out in the yard when it's in the summertime. I do anything, I last a couple of hours, and I'm done for the day. Literally. I have to go upstairs and take a nap, and then I'm hurting.
Mm-hmm.
And it just does that. But I'm trying to get, you know, more people to sign up for the delivery service. That way I don't have to stand outside.
Right.
And don't have to go to the farmer's market either. And the young lady that is she's selling from her, she has an office where she offers her services out of. She's also
mm-hmm.
offering the microgreens out of there. So I expect her orders to increase. She's already up to about $200. I'm thinking that she's going to be close to $400 or $500 or $600 a month.
Yeah, especially in the summertime. I mean,
yeah.
When it get hot.
Yeah. And you know, if it goes like she thinks it's gonna go, and her customers, her patients usually do what she says to do, and that will become a weekly thing.
Oh, okay.
And just harvest it, and she's actually gonna buy her own containers. Because a lot of her people don't like plastic. And the containers,
oh, okay.
I put them in there are plastic, reusable ones.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just harvest into those, and then she would just, you know, deliver it to them. I got to worry about delivering it to them.
All right.
So, you know, we say yeah, allows us to meet and exceed our expectations for this
yeah.
business in the coming year. This is the time of year where the USDA is taking the application for grants, trying to find out what I can apply for. And I tell you, when you start looking for money, it looks like it dries up.
No.
But we gonna still look in every nook and cranny.
Okay, doing so much
with. Yeah, well. They kind of hide it by the way they word. If you don't know the exact wording, you won't find it.
Mm-hmm.
So, what I found that they do, they word it in some weird type of way, and if you don't know what it is, you'll never find it. Let me go look on the site real quick. Look on the Hebrew Connect site. Anybody got some prayers for the new year? Or a request?
Just pray that the Father continue to bless us in our vision that we have for the month.
Amen. It's going to come to fruition. That will come into fruition. Off of that Hebrew Connect site that I was telling you guys about,
mm-hmm.
we have gotten some interest in the community, but
uh-huh.
nobody's actually taking it up. They're using excuses like they don't want to get involved with the legal system. I'm like, they are opposed to doing the legal documents.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you can't do this without that. It's for your protection and ours.
Right.
But, you know, they're using that as an excuse. I was like, okay. I've been invited to a group here to for Shabbat. I asked them, though, they said they had their Sabbath out in a park somewhere. So I'm asking them, where is that? Depends upon what time it is, I might visit them. But they haven't come back and told me. So until they do, you know, I won't let it, you know, conflict with what we're doing. But if it's, you know, in the early afternoon or something where I can make it out there, introduce myself, what have you, and be back, but then I'll go do it. Now, Sister Mary, have you gotten out in the community there?
Well, you know, Brother Miles, the people don't really come out like that.
They don't?
You walk around, everybody's in their house.
Okay, so you walk around the neighborhood and nobody be out?
Not really. Because I try to take a walk every morning.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've seen the lady that stays next door one time since I've been here.
Wow. Well, that, you know, that's probably about par for the course, because here I don't see nobody out either. I see them when they're leaving or coming back, but you don't really see them out.
Right.
I did finally get business cards for Yah's Global Kingdom. So I was going to start handing those out. I was talking to some people at the farmer's market. I want to say some age challenged people, a little bit older. And they were telling me that they go to the community centers to meet people because they're new in the area too. So I said I might go by, find out where they're going and go by that, you know, go do that as well. But I'm supposed to start teaching some classes on microgreens. And so that will probably introduce and expose us more because these are businesses that are asking me to, you know, do the presentation. We'll see. You should have one coming up. Sometime this month, I had to talk with the other lady that asked me to do one. She counsels people on Medicare, on how to, you know, apply for Medicare and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But she was saying that she started buying the microgreens from me from at the farmer's market. She said, you know, a lot of people need to know about this. She asked me, was I willing to do a presentation this month, but she didn't give me enough time to actually prepare for it. So I thought I would, you know, check with her on the next month, April. And then another business asked me to, you know, the same one that is buying trays now, they want me to do a class for their patients. And we'll see.
When you do the class, what you just tell them about the benefits?
Yeah, I'll educate them on, I'm not trying to teach them how to grow it. But
Right, that's what I was thinking.
I mean, I'll teach anybody how to do sprouts. So that's something they can learn real easy anyway. They can get it on the internet.
Right.
And all the different techniques for growing microgreens and that kind of stuff. No, I'm not trying to teach people that.
Okay.
A lot of people ask me if I sell the seeds in the kit. But mm-hmm. No, that's not really what I'm into.
Right.
I don't see where there's any money in that. So I'm not trying to sell seeds and kits. But like I added wheatgrass to the crop this time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm doing the first grow on it this time. I'll take a picture and send it to you guys.
How's it doing?
It is, I didn't get a full germination on some trays. Like, I did like 5 trays just as a test because I bought so much seed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was trying to see what was the best way to do it. And some trays I got like 80% germination, and they're still coming up. But some of the trays just look like a little patch, like maybe
mm-hmm.
10 seeds germinated out of the whole tray.
Oh, okay.
So it's just different germination rate, and I'm not sure exactly how to correct it. But, it was something that I was just doing for myself anyway this time.
Right.
But I think what I'll do is find another way to grow them, maybe get a bowl or some. I might have to go buy some, those trays that they use for cats to use the bathroom in.
Mm-hmm.
And buy a little stand that's kind of staggered. I can put the trays, on different stuff up under it and drill a hole in it. Because with these, they don't really, the roots don't grow into anything. They grow into each other.
Okay.
But they can't be sitting in water.
Okay.
And so, that you get them wet and then then the water drains off of them. So you soak them and the water drains off of them, they grow. And then every day you just soak them. But you want the water to drain out. You don't want it to sit there. So I think they get root rot real quick.
All right.
So I've been watering them and that, if too much water goes in it, I've just been draining it off.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I didn't let them germinate long enough. Yeah, I'm not really sure what happened. I got one good tray, and the other ones are like, sporadic, sparse.
Right.
Okay, we finish this up, and we'll go ahead and finish it for the evening. All right. Amen, 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 amen. The book of Numbers, chapter 6. Numbers, chapter 6. Yah bless thee and keep thee. Yah make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yah lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And you shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. He who exists will present you gifts and will guard you with a hedge of protection. He who exists will illuminate you with the wholeness of his being. Bringing order, shalom, and he will beautify you. He who exists will lift up the wholeness of his being and look upon you to set in place all you need to be whole and complete. That concludes our new year and new month service. I pray that the Most High bless each and every one of you, that you continue to fear him and to walk in his ways. Shalom, family, and Happy New Year.
Shalom.
Happy New Year.
All right. Lorraine, I think your mic needs to be turned up.
I'm sorry?
I said, I think your mic needs to be turned. It looks like you're saying something, but I couldn't hear you.
No, I wasn't saying anything.
Oh, okay. I guess you weren't saying anything then.
Yeah.
It looked like you were.
Okay.
All right, amen.
Kingdom will reign.
Happy New Year's, Brother Miles and family. Happy New Moon. Shalom.
Shalom. Happy New Year, Moon, and New Year to you also.
Thank you.
All right. Happy New Year's, family, and Happy New Moon. Peace and blessings to you all. Shalom. See you guys on, what's today? Today, Wednesday?
Yes.
Tomorrow, I guess, for the business meeting.
Yes.
All right. Amen. Have a blessed evening, everyone.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.